They were coming from Ecclesiastes, Solomon's book of wise sayings, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Amen. Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to read, starting at the first verse. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a servant to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Amen. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The topic for this message is things we do not know. Things we do not know. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the power in your word, the blessing and the comfort that comes from your word, Father. And Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share in front of your people, Father. I pray that you have empowered me, Lord, to articulate your word with your intent. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Things we do not know. Solomon is discussing our ignorance of future things, starting with chapter 9. And as we get to this 11th chapter, he talks about working hard, because you never know how you will be blessed. Now, we have to remember that Solomon is known as the wisest man in the Bible. So when Solomon speaks, we heed to listen. We have seen examples of his wisdom and how he has grown the kingdom and how he has judged the kingdom in the right way. But within these verses 1 through 6 of chapter 11, three times within these verses, he uses the phrase, you do not know. You do not know. I think that this is a timely message, as we can finally see the end of the storm coming, that we realize that in all of our knowledge, we do not know. We do not know. As we look at verse 1, he talks about diversifying. He's giving wise business advice. But this is so applicable to so many things. He says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Now remember that this was an agricultural society at this time, and they made a lot of their money off of the grains they grew, off of the crops that they grew. Many of us here were born on farms and worked on farms growing up. And we knew that we could grow the crop, but if we didn't treat it right, it would all be for nothing. So in this agricultural society, quite often to benefit from the crops that they had raised, that they would need to send the crops somewhere else where that crop was needed, whether it was grain or whatever, it was sent somewhere else to be sowed.
Yeah.
And quite often it had to go by water. It had to be transported by water. So that's what it means, cast your bread upon the waters. Cast your crop in transport across the sea, for you will find it after many days. What he's saying is send your grain to where it needs to go, and you will receive a reward after a little while. Then in verse 2, give a serving to seven and also to eight. For you do not know, that's the first one, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Now at first it seems like this is strangely, why does this come right after that first verse about casting your bread upon the waters? Or sending your grain to places that need it so you will receive a profit. He is telling them in verse 2 is to diversify your sending. Whereas he says, cast your bread or send your grain across the sea, here he is saying that I want you to send it seven or eight different ways. He's telling them, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Great.
What he's saying is that you send it across on one boat, all of your grain in one boat. A storm might come, and you will have no profit. You will lose everything that you work for. What he's saying is diversify your ventures, because you never know what evil will be on the earth. Don't we understand that with our portfolios, with our 401ks, with our 403bs, or whatever type of account that we have, whether it's an IRA, don't they tell us to diversify? They tell us not to put everything in one basket. This is to mitigate the losses that might come about. We are told to diversify. The ideal is to protect ourselves from having one disaster take us in the financial room. So he is giving wise advice of how to work. Now note that in order to have the bread to cast upon the waters, you've got to work in the first place.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We cannot be idle in things like this. Now he is saying that you have to diversify because you do not know what evil will be on the earth. And he goes on in that illustration in verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He's talking about how uncertain life is. You know, there are those of us who want to control every aspect of our lives. We don't want to do anything until we have all the answers straight, until we figured out everything. We are paralyzed because we don't have all the questions answered. But what he's telling them that there are things that we cannot control. There are things that we cannot control. And he's using the rain as an illustration. And he's using the tree or the wind as an illustration. Isn't it interesting that this is the illustration that he uses in Ecclesiastes, that Solomon's the one who says there is nothing new under the sun. This is true advice for us today. How many of us can control the rain? I don't think any of us can. We can predict where the rain might come. We might see the dark clouds approaching and say that it looks like rain or it smells like rain. We might see the animals in the field act a certain way because rain's on the way. But we cannot control the rain. We cannot control the rain. Also, we cannot control once the wind starts blowing. If a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Meaning that we cannot control the direction of the fall. How many of us are watching on TV in the last few days? I saw one reporter with the camera pointed at the tree. They said it looks like it's going to fall. Look at the ground. It's starting to shake. Where is it going to fall? That was not the time to stand in front of the tree and hold your hands against the trunk, trying to influence where it would fall. We do not know where it's going to fall, but wherever it falls, there it's going to lie. Isn't it interesting that the more storms that we have been through, the more prepared we get for future storms? Isn't it interesting? How many of us looked outside within the last week knowing the storm was coming and said, you know what, that old dead tree in the corner, I should have cut that down long time ago. Because if the wind comes in the right area, the right direction, it's going to blow that tree down. In my neighborhood, I heard chainsaws going on Wednesday and Thursday. And it was people who knew they had trees they needed to take care of long ago. They were cutting the limbs down to make sure the winds would not blow them into their house. When the rain comes, we see the clouds, but how many of us are prepared for what might come? If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. We cannot stop that. We can only react. We cannot stop the rain. We would like to. We can pray to, but we cannot stop the rain. Only God can stop the rain. Isn't it interesting that the predictions that was already said earlier of what was going to happen, quite often they tell us 5 days out, 6 days out, you have to take this with a grain of salt. This is based off of the information that we have right now. But as it gets closer, isn't it interesting that they get new information? But even then, they can't predict how much or how soon. They can tell us it's going to come and it's going to be slow. But I think many of us were surprised to find out the pace of this storm slowed down tremendously. Slowed down to 2 or 3 miles per hour. Meaning that it was crawling from point to point. Took it all day long to go from Wrightsville Beach to Myrtle Beach. Something I can drive in an hour and 15 minutes. But yet it took all day. They did not predict that. They knew the rain was coming. They had an idea of the path. But there was nothing they could do to influence the path. All they could do was be reactive and tell us after the fact is already decided where it's going to go and how much they think is going to be. That's the nature of things that we do not know. That's the nature of things we think that we have all figured out. That's the nature of our lives. Verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. This is a warning against procrastination. Even though we know that the winds come, even though we know that the strong winds come, even though we know that the strong rains come, we still need to work. You know, there is a certain population that gets paralyzed by things like this. when they hear it's coming, they can't function right. They don't know what to do. But as Proverbs 27:12 tells us, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Now, in Ecclesiastes 11:4, he's saying that those who observe the winds, who look at the winds, will not continue to do the work in the fields. And he who regards the rain clouds will neglect to reap the crop that is ripe for the picking. They procrastinate. I have to wait for the opportune time to do this. I have to wait a little while longer to pick the crop, only to see it rot out on the vine. This also tells us that lack of complete knowledge is no excuse for inactivity. How many have waited to find supplies at the last minute only to panic to find out what they want and what they need is no longer available? And the things we can't control, we need to consider a plan. My family can tell you, I was telling them last Sunday, y'all need to fill up your tanks. Because we don't know how it's going to be. And guess what? You got to use the gas anyway. So fill up now. Sure enough, what happened Monday and Tuesday? There were lines at gas stations. And if there wasn't a line, there were plastic bags over the nozzles letting you know the reason there was no line. Because they were out of gas. If you fill up when you know it's coming, all you have to do is top it off later on during the week. The storms we have been through have taught us that there's necessary stuff we need to have. If it's going to storm, if the electricity is going to go out, if the roads are going to become impassable, if the stores are not open, there are certain necessities that we would be prudent in stocking up on. Again, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. You know, in the business world, we have disaster recovery plans. We actually plan for this. When I was in IT, I had written a document that was about this thick of things to do to prepare for disaster that was coming. Because as a company, we would lose money the longer we were out of action. So we had to figure out ways of how to resume quickly and effectively after and during a disaster. Among things that we had to consider, we had to prioritize the activities to be recovered. You know, there are some things we can do without when we don't have electricity. There are certain things we can do without when we don't have lights on in the house. There are certain things that we can do without. We can do without internet access for a little while. Amen. Now, the younger generation might beg to differ with me, but we can do without internet for a little while. Put some C and D cell batteries in the radio. Get news the old-fashioned way. Amen. We can do without certain things, but there are necessities that we know we need. We know that we need water in this body to function properly. We know that we need food in this body to function properly. You need to prioritize on the activities that you need during the storm. You need to perform your own risk assessment. How will you be impacted? What are the threats to you? And what are the countermeasures? I've already shared one. You know that old dead tree in my yard?
That's right.
The one that's leaning towards my house.
Uh-huh.
That is a threat. We should not wait until the storms are approaching our doorstep to knock down the tree. We need to know that if we need gas, get gas, fill up our tanks. We need to know that if electricity might be going out, we need to prepare appropriately. Whether it's not getting a generator. Some people bought generators. I was at Home Depot on Thursday and I asked them, how many generators have you had? They said, we had 3 truckloads come through, 2 yesterday and 1 today. But we're still out because people were waiting for them. Some folks got generators for that. Others got batteries. Others got flashlights. It is hard to see in the dark. Some of us have medical equipment that requires electricity. So you have to prepare in a certain way. Others have medication that needs to be refrigerated. So you need to prepare in a certain way. You need to evaluate your options for recovery. How long can I go without electricity? Can I go 1 day? Can I go 2 days? When do I need to consider moving to another location? It is interesting how cheap a hotel becomes or how much we're willing to pay for a room with electricity when we are without. We need to decide on a contingency plan. What do I do in this case? Now, my brothers and sisters, you might not have written that out, but I know that you had those elements in mind as the storm was coming. And Wednesday, when we decided not to have a Bible study, we said, what can we do? What can we do? How can we connect with our people?
Uh-huh.
And that's what we decided on the conference call.
Uh-huh.
Let's do a prayer call.
Yeah.
We know that the storms are coming this way.
Yeah.
Let us pray about it in unity.
Yeah.
Let us share our prayer requests with one another, because we truly believe that the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And deciding to have service today, there were things that had to be considered. First of all, is it safe in this environment? Do we have electricity on? Am I putting somebody's life in danger by trying to come to church today? You know, it is a much easier decision to make during the ice storms when the roads are full of ice when we close. But on today, you looked outside and it looked like just a normal rainy day. Some of us might have had a few branches in our neighborhoods, and there might have been minor flooding in some of our roads. But I dare say we all were able to get here today. There are things we do not know, but we are prudent to plan for the things that we do not know. And he reinforces that, this emphasis on being prepared in Ecclesiastes 11:5. As you do not know what is the way of the wind. Oh my goodness. They thought they knew the way of the wind. They were patting themselves on the back for getting it right, that it was coming in near Wilmington. They were patting themselves on the back for the accuracy they had developed. But as it got close, they saw some other conditions that they had not factored in. They said, whoa, wait a minute. We had this going directly through Raleigh, North Carolina, and Durham on the other side. But now, somehow, it's going to turn to the south. It's going to hit Wrightsville Beach, and then it's going to scan down the eye of the coast and hit Myrtle Beach. It is going to go hit Columbia and that area of South Carolina then it's going to make a U-shape, and it's going to go up towards the mountains of North Carolina, towards Asheville, and then it's going to go on up. And the first time I saw that, I said to myself, wait a minute now. This new plan misses us. It misses where we are. But then they told me something different. They said, you know, the reins extend for 200 miles on each direction of the eye. So as the eye goes towards Wilmington, it goes to South Carolina, it's still going to slap Durham in the face. And then when it goes back up around us in that U shape and goes towards Asheville, is still going to be slapping you in the face. That's why they predicted rain for the next 3 days. They can predict, but they cannot influence. You do not know what is the way of the wind. You do not know that it's going to hit the coast of North Carolina and stop 2 or 3 miles per hour. I can walk that. That's how slow it slowed down. Meaning that it took up residence in North Carolina. With apologies to South Carolina, it's here too. You do not know. You do not know the way of the wind. We do not know the paths of the winds or how the bones grow in the womb of who is with child.
Say it. That's right.
Whereas we can't explain now through medical advances how a baby grows in the womb. We can explain how a baby is conceived in the womb. But we can't duplicate that without the womb. We can't duplicate that without having something to start with in the first place. Yes, we can clone, but you have to have it in order to clone. Amen? I know we got folks in here a lot smarter in science than I am, but I know a little bit that even though we have an understanding, we still do not know. Look at the last part of Ecclesiastes 5. So, you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Who makes everything. It is interesting in the planning. I used to work in television years ago. And it's interesting that in the planning for the storms, and you saw it on television, they based on the prediction, that's where they put the reporters to catch the brunt of the storm. But how many storms have you seen where they had to move them because the prediction did not turn out right? No matter how much you plan, you can do your best to plan for it. But you cannot influence it. It's interesting, I even saw a reporter who was in the storm and 20 or 30 mile per hour winds, and y'all might have seen this on TV, but he was like leaning over, had his microphone leaning over like this, like the wind was gonna push him down. And in the background, you saw two guys walking by like this. You do not know. So when we do not know, sometimes we fabricate stuff. Amen. If you haven't seen it, look it up. Look at them, it is so funny. These guys, one guy's on the phone, they're like walking like this, you know. And the reporter's like leaning over like he's hanging off with dear life. And they tried to explain it. No, he was on grass. He was on uneven ground. That's the reason he was leaning over. But yet somebody else found earlier footage of these two individuals walking on grass. Amen? Just like it was all normal. You do not know the works of God who makes everything. We do not know. And in verse 6, in the morning, sow your seed. That's the time to sow the seed, the farmers tell me. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. What he's saying, when it's time to take care of business, take care of business. For what you do not know, which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike, will be good. You see, we do not know if the storm is coming our way. But see, we still need to be diligent in planning for the storm. We still need to be diligent in making sure we've taken care of the tall trees in our yard. We need to be diligent in making sure that our family has the supplies to hunker down for a few days. We need to be diligent in what we need to do. And that's what he's talking about. In the morning, sow your seed. Keep on doing what you're doing. Because you never know how God will do things. You never know what labor will produce fruit. Now there is somebody who's going to be upset because they stocked up their pantry. There is somebody who's going to be upset but they iced up their coolers. There's somebody who's going to be upset because they got gas in the generator. I hope you didn't take the price tag off. Somebody's going to be upset. Because they prepared. But don't be upset. Just thank God that it did not come here. For we never know the path of the winds. And it very might have come our way. Because this is the same preparation we did for this storm. We're going to have to do the same preparation for the next storm. And the next storm might slap us in the face. Y'all remember years ago, prediction was for 6 to 8 inches of snow. We woke up to like 23 inches of snow. Something happened overnight. We couldn't predict the wind. We couldn't predict the weather or influence it with the certainty to know that that would stall right over us. In all of our working, we must not slip into the attitude of working without purpose. As we prepare with a purpose. And not just to be busy. Amen? There's an earlier verse in Ecclesiastes where Solomon says, better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. That's Ecclesiastes 4:6. And what he's saying is, when you do things just to be doing it, if you do things just because everybody else is doing it, it's just like you're grasping for the wind. You don't have a purpose. There is so much uncertainty. There is so much that we don't know what's going to happen. There are things we do not know. So therefore, we need to be prepared for what comes our way. For we don't know the ways of God. But with everything we do not know. And I'm going to leave you with some good news. There are certain parts of God's work that we can be assured of. This is what we do know. We do know, number one, that there is a God. And we are so thankful for that. We do know for a certainty that we have served a God who sent his only son to die for us. We do know that because Jesus died for us, he redeemed us back to the Father. We do know that we do have salvation. We don't need a disaster recovery plan for when the rapture comes, because we know where we are going to be. We have salvation. We do know that we have new hope. We have the earnest expectation of God's provisions of taking care of us throughout the storm. We do know with a certainty that we know that we have a home eternal. As John 14, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. That is a place for people who were prepared for the place. Amen. That is a place that is prepared for the saints. That is a place that is prepared for each and every one of us. No contingency plan needed. We do not need to diversify in our faith. No disaster recovery plans are required. Because we're going to be with the Prince of Peace. We're going to be with the Master. We're going to be in His bosom. There are things that we do know that even though we are pressed and perplexed on this side, even though we do know we go through hard times, we are still in His hands. That's what we do know. And we do know that we serve a God who is too wise to make mistakes. And my prayer is that we take this for what it is, that God has blessed us. Let us pray for those who find themselves in the path of the ever-increasing waters. We pray for those who are in the path of the raging winds. We pray for those who are in the path of destruction, those without electricity, those with trees across the streets so they cannot easily navigate. We pray for them. We pray for the planning. Guess what? They didn't plan to bring all these extra utility workers in.
That's right.
For nothing.
That's right.
They didn't wait till the first raindrop dropped to bring them in.
That's right.
But they brought them in, knowing that they might be needed. They will probably be needed. It was predicted that they would be needed.
Yeah.
And quite often they don't know exactly where they need to go.
Right.
But they stage throughout the state. So wherever they need to go, they can get there quickly.
Free.
They have to react to the winds.
Free.
They cannot influence the winds. But we thank God we have people who are prepared to react. We are so thankful that we have an army of citizens from Louisiana and other areas who didn't wait till the drops fell to make their way here. We are so thankful that those that didn't wait until the drops fell to prepare plans for helping people. We are so thankful that there are shelters that didn't wait to plan and prepare. We are so thankful that we did not wait to plan for our own household.
Tell it.
But there's one plan we need to have.
Yes.
If we want to be assured of that salvation, of that hope, of that home, we need to plan on a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that only comes through accepting Him as our Lord and Savior. It's not something that we should get around to. It is not something that we should delay until tomorrow. It is not something that we should delay until the winds of change and the rain is pounding on our door. But salvation is available right now. So as we close, I say there are things that we do not know. We do not know what tomorrow is going to bring. So let us plan for today. Let us prepare for tomorrow. But let us plan for today. And let us plan and make sure that our relationship with Christ is secured. Isn't it interesting that some folks put more consideration in preparing for the storm than they do in preparing for their life with Christ? Isn't it interesting that as a preacher, I can tell you, you need salvation, but you'll listen to somebody else who tells you to buy a generator? And you go out and buy it. Isn't it interesting that I can share with you the word of God? But somebody else tells you the shelves are empty of bread and water. And you'll go out right away without delay.
Tell it.
Isn't it interesting that we can reach out to our friends, look on social media, see what's happening, but we won't seek your face? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting the things we will do when the storm's coming our way? My brothers and sisters, there's a storm coming.
Yes, it is.
There's a spiritual storm coming.
Yes.
Don't wait.
Yes.
Don't wait. There's things we do not know. We don't know the day that the Lord will come. There are things we do not know. Don't wait. Don't wait. Accept Christ today. God bless you. There are things we do not know. Let us stand.